I want to talk today about baptism, about Jesus' baptism and our own baptism. Baptism defined in the Christian church as a life-changing, life-altering, life-transforming event and experience, a once-in-a-lifetime happening. That's the baptism that John was practicing and preaching. Repent. Change your life. Turn in a new direction. And water was the symbol for that. Washing away the old, washing away the past, making a fresh start, getting ready for something new and entirely different, setting the stage for something yet to come. We understand baptism, therefore, as the beginning of new life in Christ, and the gateway, the starting line to Christian discipleship, Christian life, and Christian fellowship. We've experienced baptism this morning, and here are pictures of some other baptisms to help us recall the wonder of that experience. Not just for children, and not just inside buildings, but in all kinds of places, all kinds of ways. Baptism is a time in which we acknowledge and claim what God has been doing all along in the world and in our own life, even before we knew or understood or appreciated or asked for it. It's a time when we own up to the fact that we cannot make it on our own, that we've tried and we've failed, that we want and need God's help, God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's love, God's power, God's strength, God's blessing, and that we see Jesus as the fulfillment, the full embodiment of God and the one that we choose to follow in order to find fullness of life ourselves, a life of peace and joy and fulfillment. Water is a powerful symbol of all that, a washing away of the old, a dying to self and rising to new life. Think about the images of water that you experience. A tall glass of cold ice water. A water bottle on a hike on a hot day. A cool, refreshing dip in a lake. Children playing in a sprinkler. A relaxing bath or invigorating shower. The baptism has become a universal experience in one sense that we have taken it from the church life and practiced it in the world. You remember last summer when baptisms of a different sort were taking place, raising money for ALS? And not to be outdone, the polar bear plunge at New Year's time. Anybody here ever done the polar bear plunge? Anybody ever thought of doing the polar bear plunge? Two brave hands. All right. I will note as we begin in a minute to take a look at some of the polar bear plungers. Ted and I have been very conscious and intentional about being diverse and inclusive in the images that we display. Ted, I could not find a single person of color in any of the polar bear plunges. That may say an awful lot about who's wise and who's not. Oh, they get better. Oh, some of these are going too fast. There we go. Look at this young woman. That may be my favorite one of all. And then, not to be outdone, this young Packer fan. So far, so good. But there's a problem with talking about baptism and water. John announces that he has come to baptize with water for repentance and forgiveness of sin. And then goes on to add the following, but there's someone more powerful than I, someone that I'm not even qualified to undo the laces on his sandals. But he will baptize you, not with water, but with the Spirit. We'll baptize you into the fullness of life. We'll give you new energy and hope. We'll fill you up and bring you fully alive. And so the baptism that we need to be looking at is not just the baptism of water, but the baptism of fire that makes us come alive in a powerful new way. Baptism of the Holy Spirit that fills us up and uses us, consumes us and leads us forward, and drives people to live with rejoicing and hope with each other and with the God who created them. There is a common understanding among us that baptism is the launching pad to heaven, that it begins our journey and guarantees our ticket, that when it comes time to cash that ticket in, we will go somewhere that looks like this. I want to suggest today, we've got it wrong. We've got it backwards, that there is more to baptism than simply launching us heavenward, that baptism is meant to bring us alive in the fullness of the here and now, not just in the hereafter. Now, I think I saw heaven leave. Am I correct? That our young mother has left, which is fine because I now get to talk about her without worrying about hurting her feelings. I first met heaven about 2 years ago across the street as she was part of a neighborhood gathering convened by the road in partnership with University Church. She has visited here at University Church on and off again over the course of that time, and I have prayed for her. I have prayed for her as I've prayed for each of you, but I prayed for her in particular because I envisioned the day I could announce that heaven came to church. I hope that means something to you as much as it means to a preacher, a tagline like that. But it helps me to understand that this young woman, this young wife, this young mother represents something powerful for all of us and a way of understanding baptism and Christian discipleship in something more than our goal is to get out of here and get somewhere else, when in fact it's about beginning to live the life that God intends and desires for each of us right here and right now. If in fact our goal is to picture heaven as somewhere out there, then we miss the fact that heaven has already come here, not just in the form of the young woman that we met this morning and the children and the family that surrounded her, but that heaven is in our midst all the time. As I said to the folks at the church where I was earlier this morning, I'm guessing that heaven doesn't have everything figured out about her life. I'm going to take a hunch that heaven still struggles as a wife and a mom and a human being just like all the rest of us. But to say that she is a child of God already, to acknowledge that God has blessed her with life, and with love, and now with entrance into the Christian community, means that she is not simply a project for us to work on, somebody to fix and correct and get her life all powdered up nice, but someone who is already part of Christ's reality, part of Christ's presence in our midst. If baptism is only about cleaning up the old, then we're missing out the joy of beginning to celebrate God's presence in our midst. I've been reading a new book this week written by a United Methodist pastor, a longtime United Methodist pastor in Detroit. She pastors a church called Cass Community United Methodist Church. It's a powerful church that does all kinds of amazing things there in Detroit. And so I acquired the book in hope that she might teach me a trick or two about what we could be doing here in the city of Syracuse that we've not already identified. But she disappointed me. She disappointed me because she didn't come up with strategies and solutions. What she wanted to do was to talk about the people that she has met over the course of the past 20 years in her life as a pastor in that church and in that city. The people that have driven her crazy, the people that have made her life awkward and difficult at moments, the people that have been hard to love, but each of whom she has come to claim as a child of God, a child of God's promise, a child of God's blessing. She tells a story at the beginning of the book of her very first Sunday at Cass. When she arrived, it was a sanctuary like this, if not bigger. She worked hard that first week to make sure her sermon was just absolutely first rate. She could not wait for her first Sunday in the pulpit at Cass. And when she showed up that morning, what she discovered was there was nobody in the sanctuary at all. Eventually came a group of creaky choir members, a total of five of them, who gathered around a piano in the corner and began to sing spirituals to get the service started. And then eventually a group, maybe three or four times that size, began to filter into the church, and they sat one here and another one here and one down here like Ted all by himself and another one back in the corner. And she said, this is what I've got. Came time for the sermon, and she decided, how do you preach to what is at best an assembly of people, certainly not a congregation scattered the way they are? But she decided it was her first Sunday, first impressions are important, so she would preach like her life depended on it. She'd worked hard on it all week, after all, and so she did. She preached, and she preached, and folks began to respond to her preaching, began to talk back to her, as is the custom in some inner-city churches, began to help the preacher along the way, until at one moment when she paused to take a breath, she heard a voice from the back that went like this, "Hey, lady!" And it was loud enough and intrusive enough that it brought everything to a screeching halt. And she thought to herself, what do I do now? Do I go on as if nothing has happened? Do I stop and take note of what this person has done to interrupt? Well, her internal debate ended quickly when Harriet continued with her preaching. "Hey, lady, the toilet paper's gone." Welcome to Cass. Welcome to Detroit. Welcome to urban ministry. And for Faith Fowler, the pastor that morning, she understood that it was a make or break time. I don't know what I would have done. I don't know what you would do. Here's what Faith did. She stepped away from the pulpit, stopped the sermon, walked back to Harriet, found the toilet paper, made sure that Harriet was cared for, and only then did the service continue. You see, when Jesus comes up out of the water and heaven breaks open wide and he sees the Spirit descending upon him and filling him, and he hears a voice from heaven saying, "You are my beloved." Don't each of us need to hear that? Don't you need to hear that? Don't I need to hear that? You are my beloved. Didn't Harriet need to hear that? And for Harriet, Didn't her belovedness and her blessing and her good news, didn't it come in the form of a roll of fresh toilet paper? God is ready to say to each of us, you are my beloved. And I don't want to just clean you up. I want to fill you up and use you, bring you to life. Let your spirit dance and your days be meaningful and your life be full of passion and joy and hope and service to others. That's what baptism is about. Not some simple children's experience. Not simply the baptism that John proclaimed of repentance and forgiveness and cleansing, but the baptism of Jesus where we get filled with God's Spirit and begin to live life truly as blessed people. Children of God, beloved ones.